to episode 214 of the Locometa. My name is Fletcher.
And I'm John.
John, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Just successfully distracted you for like a half hour with random BS. So
yeah, right. Like literally random BS.
Everything from camels to sushi to New Zealand.
Right. Oh man, that was a roller coaster.
So here's the deal, right? If anyone ever wants to know what it's like to have a friend who has ADD, they just need to talk to you about the random conversations we have.
Yeah. Because between the two of us,
we got everything covered. I suppose the camels came about because we were talking about how camels scare horses, too, so.
Yeah, and camels are weird, and then you're like, they're basically just horses, and then I had to show you the camel tongue thing.
Yeah, flesh bags.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, camels are weird.
Yeah, on the list of weird pictures that are like the first thing you see when you go to our own personal Discord channel, that's up there.
Yeah, right? We've had a lot of weird stuff.
Like, we've had some weird shit in our Discord channel before. Like, including the Tallahassee suplex, but man.
I forgot about that.
Camel flesh balls are just...
Yeah.
There's something. shit.
Oh, man. But... supposedly we're doing a podcast, I guess, too, but we haven't done one in a while.
This is obviously a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has been a while. See, so the problem with podcasting isn't the podcasting. The problem with podcasting is just like you really enjoyed watching me play Metroid, I'm really enjoying watching you play Zelda.
Yeah, and I think the like upside too is that like I really enjoy playing Zelda.
I mostly enjoyed Metroid.
You were a solid medium on it. At the beginning you were frustrated.
I will admit I got salty at least three times.
Yeah. I could tell.
That was also like when I realized I should be using the analogs instead of the, or I should be using the analog buttons instead of the stick.
Yeah,
that made a huge difference.
Yeah, using the buttons is way better for some of those games. Like, you just, the precision you get is just, yeah, way better, especially for a game that like Super Metroid that has kind of its own feel to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like even in 30XX and 20XX, I noticed I would end up sometimes using the D-pad.
I mean, if you're trying to be precise, like, and you only care about four directions, it is going to be better.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I love the control stick, but let's be completely honest with ourselves. Control sticks have sway. Control sticks are not precise because they can move in... you know, hundreds of directions, technically.
They can move in a fair number of directions. Yeah, typically, games will recognize, like, what is it, for 8 directions.
Okay, just 8? Alright.
I mean, functionally, because you'll have all the cardinal directions and then the diagonals.
Yeah.
Is what typically games will, like, recognize and matter and stuff. So, like, you know, what I think about is, like, when I'm playing Smash or whatever, like... you know, there's been a number of times where I've tried to do like, you know, a side attack or something like that, but I go like slightly up or down and I trigger it so that it does like a, you know, downward angle tilt attack or something like that, you know, or sometimes I'll really mess it up and it'll be like, oh, you did a down instead of a side. But
oops.
Yeah, that's never killed me before, I promise. But well, I killed myself, I suppose, because of it, so...
Yeah. But, it's a learning experience.
So, but, yeah, I'm really enjoying Zelda right now, but... So.
Let's see. We are technically called the Local Meta Podcast, so... Yeah. We gotta knock out one of these every once in a while.
Every once in a while we gotta do podcast things, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's your turn to edit, so it's perfect.
Oh, shoot. Oh well. So we'll have to make this one go smooth. Yeah, actual Magic topics. What are we talking about this week?
We have a new standard format.
Woohoo!
People are already calling for bans.
Oh, go figure.
I hate everyone.
Chupacabra, ban it.
Yeah, Chupacabra's too good, makes everything unplayable. It should be banned in standard. Oh, Jesus. Oh, well. Yeah, on the personal level of things, for the first time in over 2 years, standard was a playable format at our LGS, which was dope. There was only four of us, which was slightly less dope, but, you know, there was four of us and technically four different decks. So, yeah. Well, I mean, like, there was, like, a green-black stuff, and then a Sultai midrange, and then mono-green aggro, and then I was playing blue-black Poppet Stitcher. So, but I mean, the format's been out for a little bit, you know? I think it's been, like, it's, like, 3 weeks old now.
Yeah.
We've already established, like, the two quotations best decks, one of which is supposed to beat the other, that one of the decks, and blah, 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 and people are idiots, and blah, 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 blah.
All right.
Yeah. It's fine. I will say one, like, really interesting thing, though.
Yeah, what is good in this format? Because honestly, I haven't played a ton of it, and just log into Arena and build Murder Kill, so.
So the default best deck, the one that everyone is, like, the one that kind of rose to the top during, like, the first couple weeks was Epiphany decks. Alruns Epiphany, to be precise.
Yep.
The decks, the one that was decided to be the best was Is It Epiphany? And the only win cons in the deck main board are two Hall of the Storm Giants, the tokens and the tokens made off of Alruns Epiphany, and maybe tokens made off of Burn Down the House. You'll notice that's not a lot of win cons.
Yeah.
And that's because the deck doesn't need a lot of win cons. Because your goal isn't to cast Alruns Epiphany on turn 6, your goal is to cast Alruns Epiphany on turn 8, after first playing Galvanic Iteration and thus getting two Alruns Epiphanies and two extra turns.
Okay.
You know, Galvanic Iteration plus copying Alruns Epiphany plus attacking with Hall of the Storm Giant kills your opponent. Straight up, that is 22 damage in the two extra turns you have available to you. Assuming they're tapped out.
Yeah.
You know. And if they're not tapped out, you can just cast more Alruns Epiphany and never let them do anything ever again.
So is Alruns Epiphany the card people want banned?
Alruns Epiphany is the card that everyone's calling for being banned right now, yes.
Okay.
But there's something else going on, is that there is also a deck that rose to the top. It was like 8 out of the top 10 or something insane in like an SEG event that was going on like a weekend ago or some shit. And that was Mono Green Aggro.
Really? Just the beats?
Just bringing the beats. This deck thrives primarily off of the power level of Asika's Chariot. Because I've heard people saying that Asika's Chariot is an unreasonable Magic card. I hate everyone. Moving on.
I mean, it's good, don't get me wrong. Like, and in Limited, that card was just insane.
Oh, yeah. Like, Asika's Chariot is fantastic value, right? But it's, like, it's like 4 mana and you get, like, 8/8 worth of stats. It's like, no, you don't.
No, you don't. You get 2/2/2s.
So, this deck rose to prominence because it's really good at just putting a huge clock on the Is It Epiphany decks and just like killing them before it matters.
Yep.
Or, you know, like even if they're managed to like hold you off, like they need to have it immediately or you still just kill them. Like the mono green aggro decks put out a lot of power very quickly and they're really sweet actually. A lot of people, like, one of the things you can do with Six Chariot is you can copy any token. So, like, You know, you can go like a Seeker's Chariot on turn 4, turn 5, play a Ren in 6, tick down, make a 5-5, a
Seeker's Chariot. Ren in 7?
Ren in 7, sorry. I keep calling her Ren in 6.
Yeah.
But I'm not used to the 7. Make a 5-5, and then like a Seeker's Chariot attack, make another 5-5, and your opponent's just dead the next turn if they don't do something. So,
yeah.
Like, it has explosive potential is the main thing.
Okay.
So a lot of people are saying that if you ban Epiphany, you then need to ban a Seeker's Chariot. Because it's like the best card in the mono green deck. Which is probably true. I'm saying it's probably the best card. I'm not saying it needs to be banned because I hate
exactly.
People.
That sounds like utter nonsense to me.
Yeah, one thing that I think is funny, it's like, I'm almost certain that if they do end up banning Epiphany and a Seeker's Chariot, people are going to complain that they didn't ban Ren in 7. Because like, oh, Ren in 7 makes such big threats, they're impossible to deal with, blah, blah. Like, I actually remember...
They're impossible to deal with.
Yeah, right? I remember when Ren was, like, first being its thing, people were like, oh man, the token's just unbeatable, you can never beat it, and then people are like, they printed an unsummon that gives you a scry one in the set with Ren and Seven. Yeah. Well, I don't know, it kicks the shit out of Ren and Seven's little token.
Yeah.
Unsummon.
Yeah. Or everything that says to destroy a creature.
Yeah. Tempo. Shocking.
Yeah.
So yeah. So those are the two decks that like rose to the top of the format, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some people, there are certain people who I shall not name this time, Brian Gottlieb, who thinks that that's a problem.
You bitch.
who says that the fact that mono green rose to the top is actually a sign of bad things being in the format. Because the fact that mono green is being played so much is as a result of Epiphany being so strong. So that people are forced to play decks like Mono Green to beat it. And
to play decks like Mono Green to beat it.
So, I would just like confirmation on something, right? The very concept of a metagame is when you tune your deck or build your deck specifically around the concept of fighting the other decks you play against, correct?
That sounds relatively accurate to me.
I'm not imagining that. That is actually how the game of Magic is supposed to be played.
Yeah, I feel like you build decks to like work. Well, I feel like normal people that aren't me build decks to work against the decks that they expect to face in the meta.
Yeah.
So, by his definition, it feels like every format is awful. Which, honestly, if you talk to Magic players, is probably true.
I mean, yes. Like, unless it's like Cube, most people are like fine with Cube, right?
I guess.
But like, otherwise every format is like complete trash.
Yeah, right.
And I came to a realization earlier today when I was talking to a friend about Standard. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know, like, what was the exact topic? We were like talking about like things potentially being banned and shit. And I came to a pretty sweet realization about just like the state of Magic as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Just gonna scroll a bit. Yeah, alright. So, we were talking about formats, and they're like, I get that, but it's nice when there's more than two decks in the meta. My response was, there are 7 different decks being played at Worlds right now. So, I'm just gonna read my whole response. There are 7 different decks being played at Worlds. The issue with Arena is people have the need to climb the ladder, and they think they're good, so they play the best decks so they can climb. And then my third message I sent was, I think the online ladders / leagues have done more damage to Magic than any overpowered card printed in the last 5 years. I 100% think that.
Fair
because
enough.
Magic hasn't gotten less competitive.
No, it's probably gotten more competitive.
Yeah, like the people who play Magic have gotten more competitive. Like, yeah. You know, especially with like the loss of like SCG events and Grand Prix, people don't have that competitive outlet to like play in person. So suddenly, like, they need to play online. But the problem is, like, there's the mindset with Magic players is EV is king, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to get
a whole thing about this.
Yeah. You need to get your value. You need to make your money back. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
And there's all these tryhards who are not as good as they think they are, who go into the leagues and they're like, well, I keep losing to the best deck, so I need to play the best deck because the only reason I lose to these people is because they're playing a better deck than me. When in actuality, they're just bad.
Yeah, right.
Or they got variance out, or like there's so many other things that go into this other than like your deck like your deck selection can matter. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, Oko, I mean like Oko like, just was unreasonable.
Oko is an unreasonable Magic card because he made every creature that was better than a 3/3 a 3/3.
Yeah, right.
Right. That is not. I think Oko should have been banned in Standard? Yes. Do I think he should have been banned in older formats? No, because I love the thought of Oko turning a Black Lotus into an elk. That just is so. It makes me so happy.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously, though, it's like, you know, what was the standard with them? It was like all spell decks basically, and I was still playing Murder Kill. Like that's not going to get you anywhere, you know. Like
yeah, exactly. But so like you have this whole thing where like everyone's need to play the best deck. Like it's not the problem. Isn't oh my god, this is the only deck that's playable. The problem is the only people who are playing in like Magic Online leagues are the people who are going to be playing that deck because they want to win the league.
Mm-hmm.
They're not playing to try something new. They're not playing to get better. They're playing to win the league. Like, I would bet a lot that the majority of people who are playing on Magic Online Leagues are, like, their goal is to win said league. I would bet you a shit ton, almost everyone ranked, like, Diamond or higher. I think it's only Diamond. Diamond Masters.
Yeah.
Like, Platinum. I would...
No, Diamond.
Sorry. it goes Platinum, Diamond, Masters.
Yeah, sorry.
I was like, I've never cared enough to go beyond Platinum, so yeah. I don't actually... but like anyone ranked Diamond or higher, they are exclusively trying to get as high as they can in Master rank.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, like they're going to be playing what they consider to be the best deck to be doing that. They're not playing for fun. They're not playing for enjoyment. You know, like they perceive it as like, I got to climb that ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And that is damaging to Magic as a whole's mentality. And like, it doesn't help that you have these, you know, wannabe pros who like dedicate all their life to making Magic based content who, you know, get burnt out, go through their own little like midlife crises, and suddenly they're like, well, I'm you know, it's like clearly the reason why I'm losing is because these cards are busted, you know, you just need to be exclusively playing these cards. It's not that I'm having like, you know, not in a good mental space and making misplays and bullshit like that. Man, I am judgmental today. Holy hell.
But I mean, like, there's a big difference between, like, the tactics for climbing the ladder versus the tactics for winning a tournament.
Exactly.
Like, and because, I mean, with a ladder and stuff like that, like, you can lose games and still be fine.
Yes.
You can lose a lot of games and still be fine and make it back up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a tournament, you got X number of losses and you're out.
Usually you got three.
Yeah.
And that's if you're lucky.
Right. But like, so it's like you have to tune your decks differently and plan differently for those things. And the tournament scene actually is much more open to the sort of like, I don't want to say brewing, but use that term, you know, attacking the metagame more so.
Yeah. And it's always been, it always has been a thing where, like, you'll see a lot more things that are just like, oh, look at this sweet thing that's going on in the Grand Prix, right?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, like, we were having issues where it's like, oh, like, you know, six out of the top eight decks in this thing were all playing this one build, or all of the decks in this top eight, you know, every single deck in this top eight was playing this card as a 4/0, except for this one that was playing a 3/0 because he misentered his deck list or some bullshit like that.
Right.
Yeah. I think that was the whole thing with Seth Banfield, is he accidentally registered 3 of a card.
funny.
And like, I get that. There are things that are, like, too powerful, right? Mm-hmm. But as mentioned with, like, the... as mentioned with the All-Runs Epiphany thing, like, you can pressure it. Just kill them before it matters.
Mm-hmm. But aggro decks are no skill.
Yeah, right? Someone was actually saying that, like, because I was watching Day 2 Worlds coverage today. Mm-hmm. And someone was like, oh man, the mono green deck is just roll face on keyboard and win. And then, like, you know, 10 minutes later, someone's like, oh man, like, this is an Epiphany deck, requires no skill whatsoever. You just, like, cast all your cards and win the game. Like,
yeah.
Let's be completely honest. No Magic deck is that complicated.
Except Dredge.
Dredge is just rewiring your brain to realize you're not using a normal engine. You're using, like, steampunk.
Yeah, it strokes me out sometimes.
Like, I was gonna say like maybe Doomsday, but even Doomsday is actually way easier to play than it used to be. So
yeah,
because you have a better win con, you get Boss's Oracle, life is great.
Oh, there you go, look at that, easy peasy.
Yeah, no more of that finicky BS with your, well, I need to play out my Laboratory Maniac, and then I need to draw an extra card, and I need to hope my opponent doesn't kill it. And
you can just, like, lull Thassa's Oracle.
And he's like, Thassa's Oracle, resolve, sweet, trigger, oh no, it died, I have 0 cards in my library, triggers for 0, I win.
Yeah, right.
GG, Doomsday easy, apparently.
Yeah. But, so... But yeah, like, you were going somewhere with that, and then... Okay, so no deck is that complicated.
Yeah, hard. No deck is... Like, the people who complain about any deck being, like, face roll easy are just wrong. Because almost every Magic deck is not that hard. Especially at the shit level that the people who are complaining about decks being face roll easy actually play at. Right? If you are not playing against people like Seth Manfield, you can make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you're playing against people who are, like, actually playing at Worlds level where you can't just play whatever you feel like and you'll eventually get there. Because mm-hmm. that's not how things work, because the people make a lot less mistakes, which means they'll punish you for yours. Shocking. It's almost like you have to be good at the game to play at a high level. Otherwise, you want to know who wouldn't keep showing up in these things? Gabe Nassif.
Yeah.
Seth Manfield. Like, it's like, let's just, like, just reading all these people. So we have Andre Strotsky, who's uh-huh. been around forever. Yuta Takahashi, been around forever. Jean-Emmanuel Dupree has been around for multiple years now, like 3 or 4. I do not know Jan Merkel. Matt Sperling, been around forever. Sam Pardee, been around forever. Ely yeah. Cassis, been around forever. Huge vintage player, been around that long.
Jeez.
Yoshihiko Ikawa, I'm pretty sure, has been around for a while. Rei Saito, I know. PVDDR, duh.
What the heck do I know?
Noriyuki Mori, know him. Stanislav Sivka, one with eggs, been around forever. Already mentioned Nassif. Katsuki Sato, I'm not sure if I know him. Seth Manfield, duh.
Duh, and, yeah.
And the only guy in this that name I have no concept of whatsoever is Arnie Hushinbeth.
Okay. Probably butchered that one.
Yeah. The only name in this whole deck that I was like, yeah, I don't know who this is.
The whole list, yeah. It's just like, like, yeah, these people have skill.
Yeah, like, these people have skill. These people have been around forever. If everything was face roll easy, you know what? More bad people would be in this.
Yeah, just pure probability of it.
Yeah, like, just raw probability people are going to make it in who aren't these people. There's mm-hmm. a reason why Paulo is Paulo.
Right.
Right? The man is amazing at magic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it doesn't matter, like, you know, yeah, sure, some people are luckier than others. LSV, still a really good freaking Magic player. Like,
it's also really good.
easy top 5 of all time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, It's like, just the people who just are like, oh, this is just face roll easy. Like, if it was face roll easy, the same people wouldn't always be here. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what's winning. Everything's face roll easy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this control deck's just face roll. You just counter and kill everything. It's right. Like, yep. That's what that archetype does. Good job.
Yeah. I mean, it's just Magic players being Magic players in a lot of ways. And
oh, it's that's 100% all yeah. It is.
And I think a lot of the suffering is just, I think with I think Magic is now getting a lot of the esports mentality, and with all of that, you know, think like, I'm just gonna, just because I've been playing it more recently than other things and you know it too, but like Pokemon Unite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're playing that and they're like, oh, we're going to release new things. Oh, something's off. We're just going to change it.
Yep.
Like, Magic doesn't do that. So the only way they have is, like, they're banned and restricted and stuff like that. So, like, people are like, well, they need to change something because I don't like it or something's doing well right now. So, well, what's the way we change it? We ban stuff. All right, let's start banning stuff. Like, they basically want the, like, patch notes all the time.
Yeah, they just, that's, and the entire problem with that, as part of my rant that I've been having the last few days has been, is, like, the people will complain that things need to be banned because they're too stupid to learn how to fight it, right? Mm-hmm. But then once WotC bans things, either a new thing rises to the top and then they start calling for that card to be banned, or people complain that WotC bans cards too much and there's no safety in owning any cards in Magic.
Yeah.
It's like, it happens every single time without fail, and like, it's not that hard to not play the best deck. Like, I understand. You don't like losing to the person who's playing the best deck because you perceive them as being worse than you.
Yeah.
I perceive almost everyone to be worse than me.
You really do.
And you know what? I still accept that I'm going to lose to people who just, like, happen to get super lucky on a random card when their deck is not built to take advantage of it. Sometimes shit happens, right?
Yeah, I do get you sometimes.
You do. But it's like sometimes shit happens and you just deal with it. And, like, mm-hmm. you know what? If you're not playing at the level of the people who we're talking about, you know, like Andre Sharovsky and all of them, it doesn't matter. None of it matters. Like, Patrick Sullivan put it best when he was talking about the premature GG to bait your opponent into doing something and then blowing them out with it.
Yeah.
Right? Because Saffron Olive, like, GG'd his opponent, and his opponent attacked all into him, and then he settled the wreckage.
The classic.
And it was like this big hullabaloo, right? About, like,
kerfuffle.
It's like, you know, is it ethical, blah, 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 blah. And, like, I'm personally on the side of, like, it's kind of stupid just because I have my opponents muted. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I just don't listen to my opponents. Yeah. Actually, I didn't always have it muted, and then that one person premature GG'd because they thought they were going to beat me, and then I came back and beat them, and it was just sweet buttery justice.
Mm-hmm. Like, I have it set default to being muted. Yeah, so, like, when I was playing with my friend Robert last night, and I unmuted him specifically so I could keep sending him little dancing Heedron emotes. Like, I had to unmute him to be able to do that. Because it defaults to mute every time. But it's like... But, sorry, back on track.
Yeah.
Patrick Sullivan said it best. He's like, I think this shit is hilarious. Because I cannot for the life of me think of anything that is lower stakes than the Magic Arena ladder. Like... Because there is no stakes. There is no nothing of value on the ladder. Unless you're, like, trying to qualify for one of those things where, like, the top 1,000 ranked people qualify.
Yeah.
Like, if you're one of those people, sure, congratulations on trying to live the dream.
But that's like getting somebody with the pen trick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's Bush League shit.
It's kind of funny. The one time I inadvertently pen tricked my opponent, it was like he was just a huge knob. Oh, sorry, I forgot. I did not mean to swear.
Don't worry about it.
Like, he was a huge knob about it, and like the whole time I'm like I'm trying to explain like that's not how the game works, you know.
You actually like legit got him with it?
Well, I didn't do it intentionally.
Oh, okay.
So this is back when I was playing when Noodle was the best deck in the format. Fight me.
Fight both of us.
And he was playing the mono red aggro deck.
Yeah.
And I went like turn three Thrashy B.
Yeah.
Because that's how we be.
Yeah.
Sorry, I went turn two Thrashy B because I was on the draw because of course I was.
Turn one Llanowar, turn two Thrashy Bastard. Yeah.
Because you know what? I didn't lose games playing that deck.
It was really hard to.
Yeah. And he went on Crop Crasher. Mm-hmm. And, like, every single time me and him played, you know what he's done? He's exerted on Crop Crasher, he's gotten that 3 damage, and I pick up my pen, and I go to write down the loss of 3 life, and he's, like, himming and hawing, he's like, yeah. I'm like, alright, I take 3, assuming you're not exerting. Or assuming you are exerting. And he's like, well, are you blocking?
I'm like, you need to declare that beforehand.
Yeah. That's what I'm like, excuse me? He's like, well, if you're not going to block, I'm not going to exert. I'm like, that's not how that works. And like, I'm like, you have to decline. And he's like, well, you picked up your pen to take the damage already. I just figured you weren't blocking. And I'm like, I'm sorry. In what universe am I not blocking you attacking me with a 3-2 into my 3-4 when you're tapped out? And we got into like this huge argument, and like I called him a scumbag. This is in the middle of FMM, because of course it is.
Because you're classy.
Yeah, and so like Mason comes over, and I'm like Mason, he does this all the time. Like he tries to scum people out of like, you know, angle shoot people. And it's like, what are you gonna do when he does this to a 6-year-old, right? And like, you know, so it gets it's decided, you know, like yeah. He exerts his creature. He exerts his creature to not take damage or to deal 3 damage to me or whatever. And it's like, and I just trounce him that game. I kick the shit out of him. Like, because here's the deal. I didn't lose games with that deck. Like, I'm pretty sure I ended the game like at like 14 life or some shit. Because it just did not matter.
That deck was so good.
And so, like, he gets up and he drops in the tournament. He's like, Mason, this guy, like, he's extremely rude to me every time I'm here. And, like, I'm just not going to come here anymore. And, like, he leaves, and he was there the next week. It's like, what happened to not coming here anymore? It's like, you piece of human garbage. It's like, and here's the deal, right? Yeah. I understand that I can be abrasive, and sometimes I have flaws as a person.
You can be abrasive. I've had to tell you, I've literally in the middle of FNM's told you to calm down, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
But you know what? I am way more valuable in the community than that person is. Because I don't try and scum people and angle shoot to get wins.
Oh, man. So what the hell were we talking about?
That was me inadvertently pen tricking someone.
About the GGs. Okay.
Yeah, about the premature GGs. Because the premature GGs that stems from me talking about how P. Sully says that Arena Ladder is the most low stakes thing in imaginable to him.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which is just so right.
But I mean, like, if people want to do that, just people do it, but that's why I just mute people or ignore them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I couldn't even figure out how, like, I'm pretty sure I couldn't turn off my auto mute everyone through settings. I had to unmute every single game individually. Funny. Because it's just defaults to mute, because why do I give a shit of what my opponent has to say on Arena?
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care what my opponent has to say during a normal game of Magic. All I want them to do is announce their cards and what they're doing.
I remember playing some game against someone, and we're sitting there, and we're playing. And he looks at his opening hand, and he's f-ing selling it, right?
Yeah.
He is selling that his hand is iffy.
Yeah, and you're just whatever, we're not gonna play this game.
Yeah, I don't what you do does not matter. It's not gonna influence whether or not I keep my hand. If my hand is good, I keep it. Right. If my hand is bad, I mulligan it. You know? I'm gonna play my cards properly. Yeah. And so at the end, I don't remember how I won or lost. It's not relevant to the story. Mm-hmm. But
were you rude to somebody again?
No, I wasn't. We're sitting there, we're talking. We're just talking. I'm like, so I thought you what was up with you selling your hand being so bad? You had a pretty decent curve out there. He's like, yeah, I was just trying to play it off and kind of hoping you'd keep a sketcher. And I'm just like, I do not care what my opponent does or says before the game starts. I have only cared once.
Mm-hmm.
And it paid off really well.
Oh, was that risk it for the biscuit?
Yeah, the risk it for the biscuit. I was like, so surgical extraction? Oh my god, that was so good.
Man, it's almost like that one interaction spawned an entire multi-year podcast.
That was such a great interaction.
Yeah.
See, it's slightly different though, right? Because I knew his mannerisms really well.
Yeah.
As to where I know that this other guy likes acting up his hands, whether they're good or bad. He likes trying to sell them. It's just why do I give a shit?
Yeah, that's my thing is just usually I look at my hand, I decide if I'm going to mulligan or not, and I just set it on the table in front of me and wait for my opponent to, if it's their go, to make their decision.
Man, I f***ing love, card manipulation, right? I wish I could do magic tricks, but I can't. I suck at it. But, people who are, really, really good at, dealing cards at, poker tables, I would actually think that I would really enjoy being, a poker dealer. Because I enjoy card manipulation like that. Yeah. But I have this thing where if I keep my hand, I lay it face down on the table, and I fan it out in the seven. Uh-huh. And I'm just leave it like that. I'm that's my hand.
Yep.
It's I have no reason to touch it anymore if my opponent's still setting their mulligan. My decision's made at this point. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's a good way of being here's my seven cards, this is what I have, you know. I'm giving my opponent information, I'm letting them do their thing. Keeps me from being dumb and shuffle flicking my cards and actually dropping one on the table.
See, that's why I just literally stack them up and set them in front of me, because if I decide first, I look and I make my decision and I go with that, but if they're first, I'm not one of those people ever who will be oh yeah, I'm gonna mulligan before my opponent,
yeah,
or give any indication. I'll just be set them down after I've made my decision.
Yeah, you mulligan when you're supposed to mulligan, which is first if you're on the play or second if you're on the draw.
Yep. Yeah.
Although my hand is bad, I don't care if I'm play or draw, I will snap mulligan that shit. I do not give a I'm not wasting time.
I will waste people's time.
No, I'm not wasting my own time. I just want to start shuffling my deck.
Oh, for it, if you are.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if you are oh no, I'm gonna make people wait. They're I'm not gonna give them information to decide that one, even if it is 0.01%. I know it's probably not the biggest thing, but also my big thing too is I want the procedure done right. I don't
Which
like
is
that
fair.
Stuff where people are just it's kind of fuzzy and all that stuff and everything. So
if I'm playing at a level that matters, I will always mulligan appropriately. Even just a side event at a Grand Prix, I'm not going to snap mulligan. I'll mulligan when I'm supposed to mulligan, right? But for FNM and pre-releases, which is literally all I get to play anymore, I'm just done, snap it, gone. It's no land, goodbye. It's been one of those days.
I'm going to teach all these scrubby kids how to properly play the game. Yeah, but Good times. That went off the friggin' rails.
This is a weird episode. Remember when we were like talking about what we were going to talk about? Like, oh, we could talk about like, you know, new standard and like the world's decks. And I linked you the world's decks. So you had access to them.
Uh-huh. I've actually used it to look at some of the decks.
And now we're like going off about like, you know, proper mulliganing etiquette for pre-releases and how Noodle is the greatest deck of all time. Fight me.
Yeah. Oh my god. I wish I could play that deck again. I love that deck so much.
I was so sad when they banned Walking Ballista in Pioneer.
Oh, yeah, me too. Because it was like, I'm pretty sure I have most of that deck. I had most of that deck built too. And it's like, well, now I don't have a huge reason to play Pioneer.
Well, I specifically got extra Nissas for you that I still have because I never gave them to you. It's like, well, now you don't need them anymore.
I'll still trade them. That's fine.
You've told me that. I just don't want to take the time to fish them out and get them to you because it's like, what does it matter? They're like $2. They're not bulk. They're close to bulk.
They're close to bulk, but I'm just like sitting here like waiting for all that bulk, but yeah.
Man, I have so many cards I need to. I told you I still have cards from like 2019 I haven't given you, right?
I know. That's why I'm like, hell yeah.
Like, there's like Demanding Dragons and other BS like that just sitting in a playset box, not even like a bulk box. They're still sleeved up in penny sleeves.
What have you been doing during this whole damn pandemic? Like,
not sorting Magic cards.
Apparently, I'm pretty sure I've sold like 3 or 4 buy lists during the pandemic.
Yeah, you probably have.
To be fair, actually, because I bought like that box of Dominaria that I need. Oh, I just looked up at it again too. That I like absolutely need to draft with people, and I want to draft it. Like, as much as I love Sealed, I want to draft that B. Maybe I could. I don't know.
You just got to get enough people is the problem. That was a sweet draft format, and it was a solidly fine Sealed format. So. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, my Dominaria box order was in March. And since March, I'm just like looking at my order history here. March 8th, so March 6th was my last finalist there. So I must have had some extra stuff. But basically in the last year, I've done enough buy lists to purchase a Tundra.
Yes. Because of value.
Because why not? I just got to get all the stuff for Shark still, if that's still a thing. Probably not.
I still see it being played by like the one streamer. That doesn't mean anything though.
Let's check MTG Top 8 here.
MTG Top 8. Is Shark still playable? I don't know. Can Shark still beat Raghavan?
I have no clue in at all.
Well, speaking of like, it's gotta be things, considered. I still don't want to have to buy Raghavans.
Oh heck yeah! Oh wait, Raghavan's a standstill deck?
No, just in general. Raghavan.
Jeskai Raghavan standstill.
Wait, what?
I clicked on standstill decks.
Yes. That is definitely a Jeskai standstill deck playing 4 Raghavan, True Name Nemesis, and Murktide Regents. What the shit is this?
What is going on here? I mean, it took 5th, so like...
I mean, there's a couple 5-0 lists, though.
Is this a 5-0 list? Or...
No. There's Ocean Soul 92 got 17th at the Legacy Challenge. And then 5th and 11th.
It's only playing 2 standstills. This is a weird deck that I don't know what's going on with.
Oh yeah, I forgot Retrofit Foundry is a thing. Oh, that's expensive. Oh,
what's
boy.
Retrofit Foundry? Untapped.
It's a commander-only card.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
That's dope, actually, for that. Now, this looks like spicy stuff.
Oh, wait, where is it? Yeah, there we go. 4 Urza Sagas, that's why.
For what?
Standstill.
Oh.
Because I saw the Soul Guide Lantern, and I'm like, well, that's random. Soul Guide Lantern, you tutor it up with Urza Saga. Why the Retrofit Foundry is there, too. Retrofit Foundry is seeing play and spiking because of Urza Saga.
God. Man.
So, you want that Urza Saga back?
Well, Shark still doesn't play it, so we're in on that. I need to keep on my streak of playing legacy decks that used to be good.
Mono blue standstill. Aether Vial. This is what the shit. This is not a standstill deck, you dumbasses. It's it's Merfolk. four Rashad and Dockhand, four Tide Shaper, four Lord of Atlantis, four Master of Pearl of Titan, four Silver Adept, four True Name Nemesis, four Stiple, four Daze, four Force of Will, four Aether Vial, two Standstill.
Two Standstill because
this
standstill.
Is not a Standstill deck. It is a Merfolk deck that happens to be playing Standstill.
God damn.
Get your shit together.
Come on.
Interesting that I was actually just looking at Tide Shaper and be like, man, I wonder if like Merfolk is even remotely playable in Modern. There's no way it is. What is going on in Modern? Blue White X Control? Oh my god, they're actually doing it.
What?
Blue White X Control in Modern actually has Kahira the Orphan Guard as a companion. I am astounded that that's actually being done by people. Nope, this one isn't doing it. This one isn't doing it. This is an Omnath. This is not a control deck. This is Omnath. Four counterspell does not a control deck make.
Bullshit.
Omnath.
Oh my god. So,
tap out control deck. That's interesting. Hammer Time still extremely popular. Good to know. You don't happen to have any Murktide regions, do you?
Probably not.
All right. Just checking.
If they're worth anything, I've probably sold them.
if you opened them, the odds are I would have asked you for them by now. So
yeah, probably. All right, but so we're like not just talking on Discord; we're actually doing a podcast.
We are.
So we're just like going over, man. So
to be fair, that's not the first time that we've gotten on a MTG metagame spiral out of curiosity.
Oh yeah, we've done that probably more than we want to admit, but
yeah. I mean, I'm fine admitting it. I'm sure people are like, what the hell's wrong with you? But
yeah, but I don't know. So any other thoughts on Worlds, I guess? That was something that came up.
I mean, honestly, there's some cool decks out. Like, there are seven different decks at Worlds, right? Yeah. And like obviously there's some overlap, right? So you have Is It Epiphany, mm-hmm. you have Is It Dragons, which is Epiphany that plays a shit ton of dragons. Right. So like, I mean, this is like just in the top four, right?
Yeah.
So we have Is It Epiphany, Grixis Epiphany, Is It Dragons, Temur Treasures.
Yeah.
So Is It Dragons plays four Goldspan Dragon, four Smoldering Egg, and then like a bunch of control stuff, right? You get to play Dragonfire, which is kind of dope.
Oh, that's nice.
So then there's the Grixis Epiphany deck, which is played by Gabe Nassif and a few other people, which is just kind of like, it was designed to play against the Mirror and play against the Mono Green Aggro deck. And seeing as how it actually made it to the top four, obviously it did a pretty decent job in that, right?
Must have.
Then there's the Temur Treasures deck, which is just a Temur midrange. Like, all of it has like two negates in the main deck and two Disdainful Stroke in the sideboard. It's the only green it plays whatsoever. Or the only blue it plays. Otherwise, its goal is just to beat you to death with dragons.
I mean, yeah. That's a good plan, usually.
So then we have the mono green aggro deck, as mentioned before. We have a mono white aggro deck, which I actually thought looked really sweet. Like, I was a fan of the mono white builds that people are running.
It looks kind of awesome, actually.
Like, they were clearly built with the intent of, like, going against the Epiphany decks. So, but I'm pretty sure someone was saying that he remembers watching it lose to Epiphany. So like, the mono-white decks are clearly built to, like, play against, like, the Izzet decks, which is kind of sweet. And then there's an Azorius Tempo deck, which, in my opinion, looks like hot garbage, but I don't actually know. It's basically, like, the mono-white aggro deck, but you're splashing blue for Malevolent Hermit, which is strong. Spectral Adversary, which is cool. You're playing a single Alrun's Epiphany, and just, like... Yeah, and just like, you know, Juwari Disruption, a couple of those, four Fading Hope, some Fading Concerted Hope is so cool looking. Concerted Defense, which is like interesting. You know, it's like a pseudo Spell Pierce, I guess. It's good. Like, I don't know if it's actually good, but it might be good. Yeah. Sideboarding one Alrun's Epiphany is weird.
Sometimes you just need that second one.
I guess.
It's like that one deck that the sideboard plan was put in four Emrakuls.
You boarded in three more Emrakuls.
Three more Emrakuls, but
you main decked the one because that's all you needed. Yep. Your backup plan was boarding in more so you could just show and tell proper.
God, I love Magic sometimes.
Well, you see the problem with trying to show and tell in an Emrakul is you give your opponent a turn to deal with said Emrakul.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about show and telling in an Omniscience and either A, casting an Emrakul, or B, doing Enter the Infinite into Release the Ants, is you kill them that turn.
Yeah.
And you only need one Emrakul.
Release the Ants is so dumb, I love it.
That deck has not seen play in forever, though, so that's...
Oh, I know, but, like, that's just one of those, like, that's, like, up there with the Slash Panther being a card that's played thing.
Right?
Yeah. Like, it's just so ridiculous, I love it.
It's amazing what you can do when formats are large.
Right?
Yeah, so all in all, like, I watched some of World's coverage, I thought it was sweet, you know? I don't find watching the... Once the Epiphany decks, like, start going off and doing their thing, it's not very interesting. Watching them try to, like, stay alive against the mono-green decks is kind of sweet. Because, it's just a control versus aggro deck, and you're just trying to figure it out. It just so happens you're a combo control deck. You win the game faster than a normal control deck does, because you're not trying to, like, you know, chip in at them with, like, a 4-4 flyer. You just take all the turns and they're dead.
Yeah.
I don't think control decks winning the game quickly is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I wasn't a huge fan of Approach of the Second Sun as a deck.
Yeah.
Because the problem with it was it could win relatively fast, which wasn't a problem. I didn't like that its win con took two turns. And the first one, like, the gain 7 life was, like, I know why it's on there, because otherwise the card would be terrible. But it was really, really annoying that it's, like, alright, it literally gave you free reign to just cast it and you should be fine. As long as you weren't, like, already dead on board.
Yeah.
You know? Like, in most situations, you cast it, your opponent's going to do something, you're going to untap, and you're going to be able to start to interact with them again. Like, the gaining 7 life almost made it too easy.
Yeah.
As to where, like, for the Alrun Epiphany deck to do its thing, they need to get to 8 mana. They need to already have one of the Alrun's Epiphany suspended, which means they spent mana not interacting with their opponent, and they have to be playing a card that doesn't really do much. Like, the Galvanic Iteration is, like, fine for, like, copying removal spells and stuff like that. You know, I got to watch Galvanic Iteration copy my Expressive Iteration, which was just, my god, it was the most value I've ever seen in my life, and it made me happy. Go Andrei Strotsky.
Yeah.
But, like, in general, like, Galvanic Iteration is not a card you would normally play. You are playing it as part of your win con. Mm-hmm. You know? And, like, I just like that the games just don't drag on. It's like, I have controlled you to this point, you are now dead.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, normally control decks are like, I've controlled you to this point, and I've basically won the game, but I have to attack you for, like, a bunch of turns, yeah. Because that's how this deck works.
It's like, alright, I have 7 interaction spells in hand, I have an Ashiok in play, and I'm gonna mill you 3 cards every turn until you concede.
Yep. Pretty much, right?
GG.
GG. It's like when I beat somebody with Murder Kill, it's like, most of the time I've won by, like, turn 6 or something like that, but the game's, like, 20 turns long.
Exactly. But, like, there's nothing wrong with the game, like, the control deck just ending the game.
Yeah.
Because, like, people have no problems whatsoever with, like, you know, the mono red deck ending the game on turn 8. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that a control deck happens to end the game on turn 8.
Yep.
Like, why is that a big deal? And if it is a big deal, play discard.
There we go, look at that.
You know, it's a really good card against 7 mana sorceries and 2 mana instants that you need to make your sorceries better, and literally everything going on in this deck. Duress.
Duress. They print it all the time.
All the time. They even printed some fancy ones in Mystical Archive.
Heck yeah. Alright, should we wrap this one up?
Let's do that.
All right, cool. If you want to send some feedback, you can shoot an email to thelocalmeta@gmail.com. Catch us on Twitter @thelocalmetaPC. Head over to thelocalmeta.com for links to the Discord, to our stream, where I'm playing through Oracle of Seasons, which is pretty friggin' dope right now. Yeah, and a bunch of other fun links there, like our Patreon and that stuff. So. John, anything else before we put a bow on this one?
Brian Gottlieb, if you want me to tell you why you're part of the problem directly to you, you know where to find me. thelocalmeta@gmail.com.
All right. we will catch you next time.
See ya.